Hi there, guys. I'm Dave, Dave Litton, Tasmanian born, bit of an adventurer. Most people tell me that I should write a book. Got a few stories stuck between my ears.
Now looks like a good time, Dave. You appear to be broken. What's happened to you?
Broken again. My broken leg.
Yes.
My sequence of broken legs, you mean?
Yes.
First leg here, hit with a surfboard, fractured. Oh, this is the most simple and stupidest break I've ever had in my life, you know. My previous breaks have been left ankle snowboarding, you know, right leg hang gliding. No, right leg was surfboard surfing, left leg was hang gliding. Now, this one here was a simple slip down on the tessellated pavement, Eagle Hawk Neck. Simple slip, broken tibia and fibula. Sitting there with a wet ass, picking my leg up, looking at my foot dangling in the air, looking at where my car is, 300 metres away, thinking to myself, bit of a journey to get back there. Big surf, 8 to 10 foot, Eagle Hawk Neck, nobody on the beach, grey day, drizzly. And all of a sudden I heard a roar, looked over my left shoulder, and here's a 10 foot set just broken. And the roar was the first of the set, which has just hit the rock shelf I'm sitting on.
Hold your breath and count to 10.
And all of a sudden I've got 2 foot of whitewater roaring across the shelf. Right before I, you know, heard the roar and looked up, I'd just pulled my phone out of my pocket to ring the ambulance guys. To my left, saw this 2 foot of white water coming across the rock shelf and just went, ah, shit. My right arm didn't expect a gadget, you know, telescoped up into the air with my phone, and I got hit by this 2 foot wall of white water, floated, washed a couple of metres towards the cliff, and then it sucked out and just sucked me with it.
Sounds like you barely had time before that to even come to terms with the fact that you've broken your leg.
I heard the snap, I'd picked my leg up, looked at the foot wobbling in the wind. If that phone had got wet, I don't think I'd be here to tell the tale.
Now, this wasn't the only break, what, this year? Or?
No, it's the only break this year. I'd had multiple 6 heart attacks 2 weeks prior to this, at home alone, not knowing what was going on. Somehow survived 6 heart attacks. The previous break to this, though, was hang gliding, and that was 2 years previous, also at Eagle Hawk Neck.
Took a little bit of a break from breaking yourself.
Yeah, there you go. I do try to take a break. But seriously, you know, I got through 50 years of life before breaking a bone. And now I've broken 4 times in the last 10 years.
It is rather surprising that you went that long without breaking something, because some of your exploits in the air, with parachutes and those sorts of things, have been notable.
Yeah, well, I guess you could say I've been out there, you know. I've done 450 jumps out of perfectly good aeroplane back in the early days, 40 years ago, when parachutes were in their infancy and being developed. So that's 450 jumps, you know. I've done 400 hours flying in a hang glider.
Something's got to go wrong over 450 jumps, doesn't it?
Well, I was lucky. Nothing went wrong. Only one incident I had was when my parachute opened up one day and it was flying strange and I'd hooked it up backwards. But it was, at least it was open, you know. I mean, we had lots of other exciting adventures parachuting. Oh, there was one thing actually went wrong. We were on our 7th out of 10 jumps in the Australian national titles, jumping with the world champion freestyle aerialist called Mike O'Rourke. 4-man relative freestyle we were jumping, putting formations together, 4-man formations.
So you're holding hands as we've seen people do, doing yes. Formation, you base. Hold hands or arms.
So we're holding hands. Yeah. Base went out of the plane, I'm second, I'm the smallest, fastest, so I pinned the base, made a stable platform, waiting for number 3 to come in. All of a sudden we get hit by this body which crashed us apart, and then as we sort of flattened, straightened ourselves out again, all we could see was this partner of ours on his back like a dead ant falling to the ground unconscious. I was the smallest and therefore I could fall the fastest when I tucked everything in, and I chased him from 8,000 feet. I caught up with him probably around about 4,000 feet, which is 26.
How do you do that, by the way? For people who don't do skydiving, how do you actually make speed like that and catch up with him?
Oh, you basically turn your body into a spear. So instead of falling in a what we call a stable frog position, which is face to earth with your arms and legs extended like a frog, you tuck your arms into your chest and you point your toes. It's when you point your toes that you get actual speed. And so you start to fall to the earth head first. Terminal velocity is about 120 miles per hour. When you go into this spear shape, travelling 180 miles an hour. And I caught up with this guy about 4,000 foot above the ground, 20 seconds from actually hitting the ground. I came in too fast. And as I hit him and grabbed hold of his arm with the intention of pulling his ripcord, I actually put us into what we call a flat spin. Can't open a parachute in a flat spin. You'll just twist the lines up and the chutes weren't open. So I then had to hang out, you know, everything I had to try and stop the spin.
Catch more wind.
Trying to catch more wind, yeah. I'm hanging out my legs and my arms, you know. So once I've stopped the spin, I then reached in, pulled his ripcord. And I'm hanging onto him, watching his pilot chute fire off, which is dragging his main parachute and lines out. Now, as soon as his parachute and lines popped out and grabbed air and started to inflate, he's ripped out of my hands. Parachute's inflated, he's floating now. I'm still falling, so, you know, I'm looking for my ripcord now. By the time I pulled my ripcord, I looked at my altimeter, and I was less than 1,000 feet off the ground, so less than 5 seconds before putting a big hole in the ground.
Wow.
yeah, wow.
You said before nothing ever happened, nothing ever went wrong. That's a bit wrong.
well, no, it sort of went wrong, but we, you know, we
saved the day.
We saved the day. We all lived to tell the tale. The unfortunate thing about that was, even though we were leading the competition and would have represented Australia in the World Championships in Germany that year, we weren't allowed to substitute a jumper into our four-man team, and consequently we couldn't finish the competition. Even though we couldn't do the last three jumps, we still came second.
I'm assuming your friend actually survived.
He lived. Yeah. John Hughes was his name. He actually lived to tell the tale.
Did he regain consciousness before he hit the ground?
I don't think he did. No, I think the parachute just, you know, wafted him down and landed, and that's when he came to. One other interesting story, I suppose. We put a scratch eight-man team together for relative flying, same competition. We're in a twin-engine Beechcraft, eight of us, two photographers, and we'd reached a height of about 8,000 feet. The jump height was 12,000 feet, and the team captain was a guy from Newcastle, big guy named Dingus, big black beard, and he turned to the pilot and said in no uncertain terms, he said, "You keep this plane going up until I tell you to stop." And the pilot looked at him and sort of, you know, nodded his head, and I guess. And then Dingus reached into his pocket and pulled out a big three-paper joint and lit it up and started to pass it around the plane. So here we all are, getting pretty stoned up in this plane. We're now on final approach, and we have a spotter out the back door, one tiny back door on the left-hand side of the plane. And the spotter said, OK, it's time to go, guys, you know. So we all started to huddle around the back door. We had three people hanging outside the plane, just hanging onto the fuselage. Anyway, when you jump out of an aeroplane, you're on final approach, you cut the power so that you know, you don't have all that wake and turbulence. So the spotter called out, "Okay, power off," and it just took us too long to get out the door of the plane. And by the time we're all set and ready to go, the plane's now stalled. Now, it's because it's weighted, heavy weight on the left hand side, the plane went into a left wing spiral dive. The three guys that were hanging outside the plane got spat off. And the rest of us in the plane are struggling to get out the door. The guy that was in front of me, I had to stick my boot up his bum and kick him out of the plane. And then I'm struggling to get out the plane, and somebody did the same to me, stuck their boot up my bum and kicked me out of the door of the plane. And now, as I come out of the plane, I've tucked myself up to, you know, fall away, and the plane's falling as fast as me, so it's almost like it's falling on top of me. You know, I looked over to my right-hand shoulder, and here's this huge big propeller just metres away, beaten away. And I'm looking at it, thinking, oh, my God. And all of a sudden, you know, my body started to speed up. And I fell away from the plane, but in falling away, I hit the tip of the left-hand wing, which then put me into a spiral dive, which took me probably 5 seconds to pull myself out of and get into a stable frog position. And then I sort of had a look around where my buddies were, and they were just specks scattered across the sky. But, you know, we all came out of that all right, you know. The competition organisers, which were the Army at the time, the Australian Army, were not really happy with us.
Where did that take place?
It was in a small town called Eldersley, which is just north of Newcastle. Quick hang gliding story? Okay, this is Tasmania, Pontville, near Bridgewater. I was sitting about 2,000 foot above the hills, only a low set of hills, along the Jordan River, and flying sort of southeast along the hill line towards the Pontville pub. And I flew over the favourite roost of the wedge-tail eagle. And I saw him actually take off. Well, it took him 5 minutes to find a thermal updraft to get up to my height. And when he got up to my height, he levelled out about 50 metres above me, 50 metres, 100 metres away. And then I'm watching him, you know, as he levelled out, and he He turned in my direction, and all of a sudden, you know, from wings spread, you know, flying up in a thermal, he just tucked his wings in, you know, tucked his claws in, and all of a sudden I've got this missile coming at me from 50 metres away. And I'm looking at him, and I've seen him, he's done this to me before, and I'm watching him, and I'm just, you know, going, oh, here we go again, check this out, wish I had a helmet cam on to film this, which I didn't. But right at the last second, I thought to myself, he's that close, he's coming in. He's coming right into, you know, where I am. And I got a full-face helmet on, and I thought, oh, no. Started to lower my head. Just as I'm lowering my head, just as I lost sight of him, this big wedgie, he just flared his wings out. His legs and claws came out in front of him. He hit the nose of my glider. We have on the nose a remover, what we call a nose nappy. He tore the nose nappy out of the glider. He hit the nose of the glider that hard, he lifted the nose up into a stalled position. Now, the first thing a glider wants to do when it goes into a stall is to go into a dive and pick up speed and start flying again. So the glider's gone from, you know, sort of 45 degrees facing up in a stalled position to 45 degree angle dive. Now, whilst the glider went into the dive, out of the corner of my left eye, I see the eagle with one wing tucked in, one wing spread out, doing a 90 degree bank turn. And as he came into this bank turn, he came and he just flew straight in underneath the wing of my glider, just outside the side wire, and he sat there just cruising along with me, big eye, big yellow eyes looking at me, and this big what the hell are you doing, baby?
what do you think he was trying to say?
Yeah, this is my place, you know, rack off. I've got babies down there, yeah. You know.
Wow.
Visually amazing. Oh. Yeah, one of those things that Mother Nature, you know, throws at you that you wish you had a camera to, you know, it would have been a YouTube sensation.
Now, Dave, I'm aware that nature has thrown all sorts of things at you, not just in the air, under the water as well. I'm going to have to make a point of catching up with you at some stage to talk about what's happened deep in the depths of the ocean for you and other things like that. But yeah, thanks very much for the chat, and I hope you take a break from having breaks.
I'm going to try, Rick. Pleasure to have a chat with you, mate. I'm happy to share a few more stories.
All right, you worry, we're all flown on. All right. All flown on.